Let's continue reading verses 7 through 25 of Hebrews 13. Now, in this last section of the epistle, we have some further do's and don'ts for the Christian pilgrim, and then we have the conclusion to the letter. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning now at verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by grace, not with foods which have not profited those who have been occupied with them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those who rule over you, and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Once again, some background notes. We've seen that the great theme of Hebrews is the high priesthood of Christ. He is superior in his person as high priest, chapters 1 through 7. He is superior in his functions as high priest, chapters 8 through 10. And he is superior in his resources and power as high priest, chapters 11 through 13. We have seen here in chapter 13 that as responsible and mature believers, we have social duties in the Christian community and spiritual duties in the Christian church. In verses 1 through 6, we saw some social do's and don'ts for the believer in the Christian community. Now here in verses 7 through 17, we see some spiritual do's and don'ts for the believer in the Christian church. Now, two more brief background notes. In verse 23, we read, "Know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly." So it seems that Timothy has been arrested for being a Christian, but is now released and will join the writer shortly. Verses 18 and 19 may indicate that the writer himself is in prison, and he requests prayer for that situation. Well, so much for our background notes. Let's move now to our doctrinal point. The doctrinal point is this. There are spiritual do's and don'ts for the believer in the Christian church. There are spiritual do's and don'ts for the believer in the Christian church. In verses 1 through 6, remember, we had five social do's and don'ts for the believer in the Christian community. Now, in verses 7 through 17, we have six spiritual do's and don'ts for the believer in the Christian church. So, subpoint A, do remember the faithful fathers. Do remember the faithful fathers. Verse 7. The Hebrew Christians then, as well as Christians today, should remember the faithful fathers. Not only the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, but faithful men and women that we've known in the past. We all have memories of godly men and women who are now in glory, but were models of faithfulness and endurance when they were with us. I think of my own father and father-in-law in this connection. Notice verse 7 again, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Now, the supreme example, of course, is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We change. Even great Christians have their ups and downs, but Jesus does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Aren't you glad about that? I certainly am. Subpoint B, don't fall for false teaching. Don't fall for false teaching. Verse 9. Now, the particular false teaching that the author has in mind here is the rituals of Judaism. The rituals in reference to clean and unclean foods, verse 9. And the rituals in reference to the sacrifices, verses 10 and 11. Remember the occasion of the letter. There were some members of the congregation of these Hebrews who were tempted to return to Judaism. Some had already stopped attending the fellowship. Remember, we saw that back in chapter 10, verse 25. Christianity was too simplistic for them compared to the religion and the elaborate rituals of Judaism. In biblical Christianity, there was no earthly sanctuary, no altars, no priests, no clergy, no special dress, no liturgy, no candles, no incense, and no elaborate rituals. This is still true today, and that's what we're seeking to practice here in this New Testament church. The purpose of all the sacrifices and rituals in the Old Testament was to point forward to, and to picture, and to illustrate, and to typify Christ. He is our altar and sacrifice, verse 10. And just as the bodies of the sin offerings on the Day of Atonement were burned outside the camp, you can read about that in Leviticus 16, so Christ was crucified outside the gate of Jerusalem. So, says the author of Hebrews, if you want to follow God's program, you must stop sharing in the sacrifices and you must leave the camp of Judaism with all its rituals and follow Christ, the true and ultimate sacrifice. Don't fall for the false teaching of Judaism and fail to move on in the Christian faith. Subpoint C, do go outside the camp. Do go outside the camp, verses 13 and 14. The camp for the Hebrews was the religion of Judaism. Judaism had rejected Jesus as the Messiah. To be a follower of Jesus, they had to leave the establishment of Judaism. Now, the same is true for us today. Established religion has a lot of ritual and ceremony and show associated with it, but it does not recognize the Lord Jesus as the Son of God and as the only means of salvation. Therefore, we must leave the camp of established religion and bear the reproach of Christ. There are many so-called Christians that are unwilling to go outside the camp and bear the reproach of Christ. What about you? Do go outside the camp. Subpoint D, do offer the sacrifice of praise. Do offer the sacrifice of praise. Verse 15, did you ever think of your praise to God as a sacrifice? I mean, you tend to think of your praise to God as spontaneous. Well, praise is not always spontaneous. Sacrifice involves time and effort and cost. We can understand sacrifice of service, but what about sacrifice of praise? We need to praise the Lord more. We need to structure our lives so that our lives include the sacrifice of praise. We need to praise the Lord more. Do offer the sacrifice of praise. And subpoint E, don't forget to do good. Don't forget to do good. Verse 16. Doing good works, such as helping others and sharing with those in need, is not automatic. We need to work at it and actually plan out the what and the when and the where of our good works. We all have our appointment books, right? How many of us actually plan out and write down the good deeds we intend to do? A little convicting, isn't it? For you and for me. God is pleased when we plan out how we're going to do good. He sees it as a sacrifice, and with such sacrifices, he is well pleased. Verse 16. So don't forget to do good. And subpoint F, do obey your leaders. Do obey your leaders. Verse 17. Now in the context here, the leaders are not government officials, but church elders and leaders. This is spiritual authority here. Just as there is authority in the home and authority in the state, which is ordained of God, so there is spiritual authority in a New Testament church. And it is ordained by God. So it's a serious matter to disobey the elders in the local church. We should obey our church leaders and without griping. Remember, elders and church leaders watch out for the welfare of our souls, which is very important work. And verse 17 indicates that they must give an account before the Lord. Verse 17, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Do you give your elders grief? I hope not, because the verse says that that would be unprofitable for you, both now and later. Do obey your leaders. Now, one practical application. Remember, there are two aspects to the work of the Lord. Remember, there are two aspects to the work of the Lord. Verses 20 and 21 is one of the most beautiful benedictions in all of Scripture. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, do you see the two aspects of the work of the Lord in verse 21? One aspect is the work of the Lord that we do for the Lord. And the promise here is that the Lord will equip us to do every good work that he's called us to do to accomplish his will. What a promise that is. The other aspect of the work of the Lord is the work that the Lord does for us. Now, what is the work that the Lord is doing for us? It's the work of sanctification. The work of our salvation is finished, but the work of the Lord for our sanctification is ongoing. And what's the bottom line of his work of sanctification in our lives? That we would be pleasing in his sight. The Lord is working in us and for us and on us and through us to accomplish that good end result. Remember, there are two aspects to the work of the Lord.